Uber is in the midst of a few crises right now, from an embarrassing video of the CEO berating an Uber driver to claims that sexual harassment allegations weren't handled properly. But for Uber users, the rides go on. And the question remains, do services like Uber make traffic congestion better or worse? Martin DeCaro from Here and Now contributor WAMU reports.
Signs of the new mobility are easy to spot outside Washington's largest shopping center. Shoppers stand curbside looking at their smartphones, waiting for rides to circle the block and pull up in front of the DC USA Mall. Sarah Welsh Huggins prefers Uber.
Probably once to twice a week, depending on where I'm going.
She considers herself part of the shared economy.
I'm a millennial, and of all the places I've lived in so far, I've either had car share programs, I've had good public transportation, I've used my bike a lot.
Welsh Huggins, like so many newcomers to the city, does not own a car, but stand here and watch the taxis, Ubers, Lyfts, Car2Gos, and Zipcars clog the road, and you might assume the shared economy will drown D.C. in traffic. But experts say the answer is...
not that simple.
Susan Shaheen is a leading researcher on sustainable transportation at University of California, Berkeley. She's in the middle of a study on the traffic impacts from ride-hailing services in three cities, Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Washington, D.C.
What we need to do is really understand the behaviors of the users. Have they given up a car? Have they forfeited a car purchase?
Shaheen points at private car ownership. Look at any traffic jam, and most of the cars are carrying just one person, the owner.
It's really those single occupant vehicles which represent the largest share of these commute congested periods of time.
And Shaheen has done other research that's found on-demand mobility services produce benefits.
It is actually taking on net cars off the road.
She studied Car2Go, a car-sharing app with close to 60,000 customers in the Washington, D.C. area and a fleet of 600 vehicles.
In many cases, people are selling a car and depending less on private vehicle ownership and use, or simply foregoing that planned purchase.
Uber, Lyft, and other ride-hailing competitors have tens of thousands of cars driving around the Washington area. You might think they'd add to congestion, but consider two points. One, the drivers don't need to park. District officials estimate 25% to 30% of traffic is from drivers circling blocks looking for a space. And second, Shaheen says ride-hailing vehicles have the potential to put multiple passengers in every ride. Uber says 1/4 of its trips have more than one passenger. And when those people aren't riding in Ubers, Shaheen says we need to ask about their other travel habits.
Have they started to take public transit more? Have they started to walk or cycle more?
A study by the American Public Transportation Association says the answer is yes. Uber and Lyft users in seven big cities, including Washington, are more likely to use mass transit, walk, and bike, less likely to own cars. Melvin Thomas is another newcomer to Washington in his 20s and not interested in car ownership.
I don't own a car, so Uber's a good resource for me.
Thomas says he orders Uber 3 or 4 times a week. He thinks about how his behavior is affecting the city he now calls home.
Yeah, I use the Uber Pool program, so my primary focus there is kind of sustainability, lower cost, and then the ability to share rides.
A lot of this sounds positive, but the fact is we don't have all the answers yet. The causes of congestion are varied. Just think of all the double-parked delivery trucks, cars, and taxis in any big city. And as of now, shared vehicles account for just a small fraction of the cars on the road. For Here and Now, I'm Martin DeCaro in Washington.